Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 3rd of May. We are in a very brief pledge drive. I'll give you the phone number in a moment, but I do want to tell you that, you know, this is the biggest story certainly of the week and probably for, you know, it's been the biggest story for a long time now, for the past few years, and the biggest story of the presidential election. We'll be looking at, you know, round two now with the presidential veto over the Iraq war funding bill. Now congressional leaders are negotiating a second war funding bill. Evidently, Democrats are offering the first major concession, an agreement to drop their demand for a timeline to bring troops home from Iraq. The Democrats backed off after the House failed yesterday. The vote was 222 to 203 to override the president's veto of a $124 billion measure that would have required U.S. forces to begin withdrawing as early as July. The president has talked a little bit more about what a definition of success is here. I thought his comments were interesting yesterday, that it's not no violence there, that parts of our own country have violence. So it's feeling confident about living on a daily basis that would make us feel as though we had made progress in Iraq. Well, how do you bring these people together? Where do we go from here? And most importantly, because I think that the American public voices are being ignored in all of this, what do you think we should be doing? Should there be a compromise? I'm interested in your thoughts on this, and we'll be speaking with the Vice President and Director of the Washington Program for the Council on Foreign Relations in just one moment. Rhonda Fanning, producer of the program, is joining me here in our studios in Milwaukee to ask for your support during what we hope will be a very brief pledge drive.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hello, Rhonda.
Hello. 800-383-9772, or they can log on at WPR.org. Pledge now.
Yes, please pledge now. And think about all of the programs that we've put together for all of the years on Iraq.
Right.
Just so many of them. We know this issue. We know this issue very well, and we're giving you a chance to call in and give your very informed thoughts, and you are extremely informed on this issue. It's the major issue of our day. It will be a major issue tonight during the Republican debate. We'll be talking about that tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning at 9.
Yeah.
So call now. Continue these types of programs, 800-383-9772, or log on to WPR.org.
Okay. Thanks, Rhonda, very much. We'll talk to you a little bit later. We're continuing our conversation now about Iraq and what kind of compromise, where is there room for compromise when it comes to the Congress and the president. Our guest is Nancy Roman, Vice President and Director of the Washington Program of the Council on Foreign Relations. She oversees the meetings program, convening council members with top national and international leaders, and also directs the council's congressional program in Washington. She is author of Both Sides of the Aisle, A Call for Bipartisan Foreign Policy, so she's the perfect guest for today, analyzing the political polarization in Washington and proposing steps to build bridges between the parties for dialogue and foreign policy. She spent 10 years as a journalist covering politics, Congress, foreign policy, and economics. She was congressional bureau chief for the Washington Times, also worked as a political reporter for the Fort Lauderdale News and Sun Sentinel, and she came to to Washington in 1988 as press secretary and foreign affairs advisor for Representative Clay Shaw. Our phone number for you to join this conversation is, as always, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Hello, Nancy. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you're probably the person they should be calling in to run the whole show in Washington when it comes to putting together a compromise, right? This is your forte.
Well, I absolutely believe that the best ideas hail from both sides of the aisle and that you don't get much done here if you're not willing to work across the aisle.
Mm-hmm. And how hard is it going to be to work across the aisle on this very contentious issue?
Well, you know, obviously we've seen it's been so challenging because it's become such a political issue. And I think one of the things that makes it even more difficult is this is going to be a driving issue in the presidential election of 2008, and everyone knows that and understands that.
Mm-hmm.
So with that as the backdrop, explaining why things have been so contentious up until now, I do actually believe there's room for compromise, you know, going forward. You know, Bush has been very clear that he's not going to go for timelines. The Congress couldn't override that. So, you know, he said he can live with some benchmarks. So I think you see the outlines of where some compromise will come. You know, I think really what's going to make this interesting is how your callers and the rest of the public responds over time.
Mm-hmm.
If they agree over the next few weeks to some benchmarks that say we're going to evaluate, you know, how things are going based on how secure people feel in their homes, level of violence, number of casualties, and so forth. My prediction is that, as is so often the case, you know, it'll be easy for both sides to see success or failure as they would like. So I don't think that solves things. It kicks the can down the road. And ultimately, you're going to be faced with, is Congress going to continue to fund a massive troop presence on the ground in Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe the president and the White House will want to continue that for a good while. Not forever, but it's because they're so much vested in this approach and they want to salvage it.
Mm-hmm.
The public very clearly doesn't want that. So really, I believe the Democrats in this instance hold the cards.
Mm.
They have to make a decision whether they are going to use the full power that they have to cut off funding, and they do have that power, or whether they're going to, you know, keep the political issue.
Yeah. Well, don't you think also that the Republicans hold the cards here as well, Nancy, because we are in a political year, and you can sense from the Republicans, and it's going to be extraordinarily interesting to watch the debate tonight to see how this issue is handled.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them are running out of patience with the Iraqi government as well, so they've got... They may be behind the president right now, but they're going to have a different strategy here as well.
Well, definitely, you know, you see some fissures in the Republican Party. And, I mean, I've been saying for months and months, it's no secret behind the scenes that Republicans are not only disillusioned, but just as disillusioned as Democrats
mm-hmm.
with the overall conduct of the war. But the reason why I think Democrats have more power is I think Republicans have become sort of disgruntled and dispirited, but for the most part, the party has decided to back this new approach to surge to try to establish security in Baghdad for now, for this while. And I don't think you'll see mass peeling off from that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Democrats have to decide how tough they want to be. I think the overwhelming majority of the Democratic Party would prefer to come home and to come home swiftly, but they don't want to be perceived as the party of cut and run. So for them, it's more of a stylistic and management issue. They know exactly where they stand on the issue. They don't know quite how they want to play the hand that they've been dealt because, you know, the political questions are less clear on that side of the aisle. In some ways, I think the reason this is harder for Democrats than for Republicans is Republicans have already suffered the blow, right?
Yes, right.
You know, the president's policy is hugely unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
He's fallen in the polls, and Republicans suffered the hits in the midterms accordingly, not exclusively but certainly in large part because of Iraq. The Democrats, on the other hand, are perceived as the fair-haired children who have come, and the public's put their hope in them to turn things in a new direction. So they have more to lose, and that's why I think in some ways it's a harder thing for them to navigate right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to benchmarks for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to decide what the benchmarks are? And I'd like a more clear definition of benchmarks that you think everybody could agree on.
I know. Well, that is a tough, tough question. Trust me. The most powerful hill aides in this town are laboring now in the Capitol and will be laboring in coming weeks over those very matters with lots of input from outside groups. And, you know, it's not my particular area of expertise, but I can say just from conversations, you know, that I've been privy to, you know, it really comes from the debate right now surrounds what are your metrics is going to be, or will it be number of casualties? Will it be numbers of blocks and neighborhoods cleared? Will it be
mm-hmm.
some sort of general notion of safety conducted by polling? And I think one of the things the Bush administration would likely prefer is that it not be measured in just numbers of casualties, because even if they succeed in providing some security that means fewer deaths resulting from militias and military activities, they can't control the random vest bomber and so forth. So I think they'll try to be pulling it towards a sense of security and safety in Baghdad. Others will want to take a broader approach and look at Iraqis being killed anywhere in any situation. And in some ways, I think no matter how it comes out, the people who want to come home will be able to say that the benchmarks have not been met. And the people who feel that there needs to be a continued U.S. troop presence will be able to say that things are improving and we're mm-hmm. close to meeting the benchmarks. It's a gray area. It's very difficult. You know, that's why I feel so strongly, rather than sort of bogging down on the details of the benchmarks, which ultimately aren't going to bring our nation to, a place of all rallying around a policy we can agree on. We need to be asking, what is this surge meant to achieve? And I think that's the first question before we can develop matrix for, you know, are we achieving it?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel one of the biggest misunderstandings in this whole thing is the surge was really put in place, and the press has reported it as a temporary buildup of troops meant to provide security in Baghdad so that you can sufficiently stabilize the situation for a while to allow the Shia and the Sunni to negotiate and find their way to political compromise. That presupposes that the Shia and the Sunni want to find their way to political compromise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think one of the very scary things is in conversations we've held here at the Council on Foreign Relations, you increasingly hear from people, including those who've been on the ground and traveling with military leaders, that moment has come and gone, if it ever existed, that the Sunni and the Shia don't want to compromise. So the question I have, and I certainly don't purport to have all the answers, but the question I have is, what do our leaders believe could be achieved if the surge were successful and Baghdad were completely secured mm-hmm. and there were no violence there of any kind? You know, what then do we think we could achieve? Because I'm skeptical that the political compromise is forthcoming. Perhaps you could extract one by using military leverage and threats. If you don't compromise, you know, we'll use military force against you or withdraw our military protection for you. I think you could have a debate just about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that, if that is the way you get your compromise, I think then you have to understand that it's not going to be a compromise that will have any staying power without extended U.S. troop presence.
Right.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes, right.
So those are the questions I wish we'd be asking, because I'm a lover of the institution of Congress. I so value it, and I think we need the debate and the discussion and all of that. But I just don't think, no matter how this benchmark debate comes out, it's going to be the answer for us.
Yeah. I want to, and I'm on this for a while, because it seems to me as though, and I'm not sure exactly what they were saying, but please factor in the American public here, Nancy.
Yes.
We did have a very large election, which obviously was tied to Iraq. Last fall, we changed the makeup of the Senate and the House. The American people were saying something, and it mm-hmm. seems to me as though their voices need to be brought to this compromise table. What are they saying, and what are we willing to put up with here in terms of how long this goes on?
Well, you know, that's the salient question, and I've thought for a while that the public might drag Congress into doing more than they intended to do, to be frank.
Hmm.
Because I agree with you. I think many, you know, not all, but I think many independents and Democrats and some even Republicans who voted for Democrats in the last midterm election did so because they desperately wanted a change of course in general, but specifically as it might relate to the war. And I think there are a subset of those voters who absolutely thought that they were casting a vote for us to come home right away. And now we see a Democratic Party that's debating things in somewhat a different light. And I don't like to be excessively critical of either party. I think they both make colossal mistakes, and they both have enormous numbers of God-fearing Americans who are working hard to serve the country. But in some ways, I think some Democrats are really playing politics here because they know the public wants to come home, mm-hmm. and they have a little more leverage than they're willing to exercise to affect that outcome. But they would really prefer to have the war going badly and for this issue to be continue breaking badly in 08. And not all, I mean, obviously, but there is absolutely some of that going on, Republicans have put politics before policy, certainly many of times, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's in some ways hamstringing it. If the public had their way, I think that, you'd try to override, you'd fail to override, you'd send a bill back. Bush would veto, the
right.
public clamor would get stronger to
right.
override.
Right.
Eventually, you could build the votes to override the veto, if your analysis is correct, and I think there's a chance that it is, and that the public would like to discontinue participation, then you continue that fight and you ultimately win it. If you really just wanted to make the point that we tried and immediately capitulate, when you're not going to fight for it, you're not going to get there. So I'll be very fascinated to see, and I'll be interested to hear from your callers how they're going to respond, to this easing off and extending support for the war.
Yeah, you'll hear from them in just one moment. Nancy Roman is our guest. What do you think about a compromise here? Should there be a compromise? What do you think about the Democrats failing to override the presidential veto? What do you think of the presidential veto? Most importantly, what do you want the course of action to be in terms of American involvement in Iraq? And what do you think about the subsequent politics here? We are giving you a chance now to join in on this conversation and fill the phone lines, please, because it's the most important issue of our day, probably. 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. Nancy Roman is Vice President and Director of the Washington Program of the Council on Foreign Relations. She convenes council members with top national and international leaders and directs the council's congressional program in Washington. She's author of Both Sides of the Aisle, A Call for Bipartisan Foreign Policy, analyzing the political polarization in Washington and proposing steps to build bridges between the parties for dialogue in foreign policy. All right, phone lines are crowded. We'll be with you in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now. Just a reminder that we'd like to make this pledge drive as short as possible. We have a goal of $3,000 this hour. And if you could call and pledge, we know that you're thinking about it and that you will. If you did it now, that would be terrific. 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or you can pledge online today at WPR.org. Nancy Roman is our guest. Let's go to your phone call, starting with Richard from Fort Atkinson. Hi, Richard.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
When I think about the Iraq War and I compare it with the German invasion of Poland in 1939 and the circumstances surrounding that, I do not see much difference. When I try to ask the question, what is it that we did in Vietnam, and what rational reason was there behind our military action there, I can't answer the question. And what I think now is that in the case of the Iraq War, the language that we use, especially on the Democrat side, is absolutely Orwellian. That is, Senator Kennedy talks about this as a tragic blunder. Others talk about it as a mistake. Others talk about somehow getting a victory which is never defined. The language is the language of finding palliatives and minor corrections that will leave us there for years and years and years. Instead, in what others we call crimes against humanity, we refuse to use that kind of language for ourselves. What we have here is an American atrocity, a crime against humanity, and there is only one correction with when one thinks about it in that way, and that is to get the troops up on the embassy roof, send in the helicopters, and take them away, and then pay reparations to the degree that we can to put that country back together.
All right. Thanks for the call. Nancy.
Well, I mean, those are strong and clear opinions, and if a lot of the voters feel like you do, I think, you know, there will be a pushback and a resistance to the compromise measure that's likely to flow from the Congress, you know, over the next couple of months. I guess, you know, what I would say is I hear you, you know, about the language, and people don't want to be that clear for some obvious reasons. I'm not in the camp who believes that people went in for oil or to take over a country. I think people went in because they really believed that toppling Saddam could reposition the United States in the Middle East and help with democracy promotion. It didn't work out that way. You know, you're not going to get public officials to embrace the most the harshest language. I guess what I'd say is, depending on your worldview, to people who feel as the caller did, as Richard did, I think the question is, think through if you put all those troops up on the roof of the embassy and fly them out and they're gone tomorrow, how the United States will respond when the violence escalates and potentially spills over. That's the question for that set. And then for people who want to stay in perpetuity and believe, you know, the so-called war can be won, to them I would pose the question that I was raising earlier, which is, if the surge succeeds, which is the military strategy right now, you know, what then? You know, what's going to happen next? Because I think it's just always imperative for us to think through the logical implication, you know, of the strong and extreme view.
You know, it seems to me as though a logical implication from all of this, because we have some fairly long history in that country now, is that whatever happens just isn't going to settle very well, Nancy. And I'm wondering if this is part of the problem with the whole issue. If we leave, you know, it's not as though things are going to be terrific. If we stay, things are going to be terrific. You know, a lot of people have died. It's just bad.
Yeah, there are no. Unfortunately, we're choosing among unattractive options.
Yes, right.
And I think one of the things that makes leaving hard is for people who aren't willing to declare. You know, there's resistance to declare defeat, come home with your tails tucked between your legs, and that can lead to staying, perhaps without a clear sense of how might one achieve something called victory. But the options aren't good, and I think really to come home swiftly would require a leader who would be willing to say, to recommend the policy action that Richard did, and then to say, and violence likely will escalate, and there is some risk that this could spill over and become a regional conflict. But we no longer believe that in staying for the next 5 years, we can achieve an outcome that is significantly better for the Iraqi people.
Yeah.
And if someone is willing to admit the costs and then lead in that direction, you can take, you know, you can take a step that isn't on its face politically easy.
Let's go to Joe from Prescott. Hi, Joe.
Good morning. I read a piece this morning in the New York Times mentioning something about the Sunnis and the Kurds pulling out their support on a proposed oil law. One question I have, what is this oil law all about? And the second comment that I have, haven't we attached our support in this whole endeavor to a benchmark about this oil law? Mm-hmm. The third comment I want to make, you know, I'm really skeptical about what this whole thing was all about. Mm-hmm. First, we were told that it was about WMDs, and then we were told that it was supposed to be about supporting democracy in the region. You know, after hearing all about Dick Cheney's negotiations with big oil and the press not being privy to any of that goings-ons in those meetings, and, well, let's just say I'm skeptical.
Mm-hmm. Well, skepticism is certainly, you know, fair at this juncture, I would say. Let me start with the oil law, which is a little bit beyond my area of expertise, but I do know some things about it. You know, as I said before, you know, part of the reason that we have this surge is so that security, so Baghdad can be secured, so the parties can negotiate. Well, negotiate about what? Negotiate about the shape that Iraq might take, and they have to solve all sorts of things, from establishing departments of transportation and providing for clean water and determining how to divvy up the nation's greatest resource, the oil. And the oil fields are not evenly distributed among the Sunni, the Kurds, and the Shia. And one of the reasons that the Kurds, I think, are thinking of pulling out is because they don't have access to the potential underground oil on their territory. It would be controlled by an Iraqi national company, and so that's what all the infighting is. The areas that have the oil want to make sure that they keep, you know, access to wealth, and the proposals try to make oil a national resource and distribute the revenue that might flow from oil on a proportional basis to the Sunni, the Kurds, and the Shia. And it gets challenging for lots of reasons, many of which you can imagine, including that not everyone even agrees what percentage of the population they are. If you're a Sunni and you live in a village of 500 Sunni and you have five villages surrounding you of all Sunni, you're skeptical when people tell you you're 20% of the population. So that's just one area that's been extraordinarily difficult to you know, work through, and there are many issues like that that have to be solved, which is why I think in some ways we might be a tad optimistic about securing Baghdad being sufficient to get, mm-hmm. you know, groups to come together on all these complex things. The benchmark about the oil, I'm not quite sure about that. I mean, there were some timelines set when they wanted to see some progress on these things, but I would imagine those would be things that could be adjusted and pushed out if you were seeing progress.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then just finally on his last question, what was this all about? You know,
right.
That's a big question. You know, my view is, you know, people always want to speak about government as though it's a monolith. Why did the government do this? Was it A, because they wanted oil, B, because they wanted to promote democracy, C, because, you know, was mad that, you know, Saddam tried to kill his dad, and the other reasons. And to be honest, you know, really probably pieces of all of it were true. I know enough people in the administration who I know believe in democracy promotion that I believe that was a big driver of it. Was it the only driver? No. I think it's just like any other, when a human being takes a decision, there's a complex set of things pushing you, and sometimes you may not even know what all of them are. Some could be subconscious and all. Government isn't a monolith. It's an entity made up of human beings, many human beings, and different human beings might have been attracted to the policies for different reasons. I do not believe that there was some sinister secret plot to get oil. But I'm sure that there were some people in the government who saw having another U.S. means of getting oil from a country that's not Iran and not Saudi Arabia as one of the potential upsides if you took action that led to these other good things.
Mm-hmm.
That's my view, but intelligent people disagree.
What about the president's answer to these questions? It seems to me as though he is a little bit simplistic about all of this. In his comments yesterday, you know, that the same bunch is in Iraq now that attacked us on September 11, retreat in Iraq, they'll follow us here. We're hearing that line more and more frequently. I mean, doesn't he really owe the American people more of an explanation here? That's just too easy, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think, you know, a more thorough and complex explanation would be good. One of the reasons I think the president and others in the administration consistently sort of take the let's fight them there so they
right.
don't come here
right.
is because that resonates. I mean,
mm-hmm.
when you take independents who are deeply dissatisfied with the conduct of this war, the one thing that gives them pause when they start thinking about retreat is, you know, this thing has been a debacle. Iraqis have died. Americans have died. We've lost our standing in the war world. But we haven't had any more violence on our home territory.
Right.
And so I think that that's the one thing that resonates in the middle, and that's why you continually hear it. But I agree, it's not sufficient.
Yeah. Joe, thanks for the call. Let's go to Bill from La Crosse next. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
Hello,
Thank
Bill.
Thank you, Kathleen, and your guests for a very cogent discussion. It's good to hear some real, rational, good thinking about all of this. I have a Marine captain's son in an intelligence unit in Fallujah, and as such, he knows more things than any of us here, probably. So when he says that there are reasons to have some positive outlook, there are reasons for hope, and I have to take him at his word. I don't like the fact that he's over there, of course, but as in an intelligent unit, he's probably a little safer, relatively speaking, than some. Even so, when he was gone for 2 weeks out on some mission and couldn't tell me where he was, I was getting a little anxious. But for him, he tells me that he can't stand hardly anything else about Bush either, any more than I can. But he agrees with Bush in this regard, that it's a matter of honor. We owe it to the Iraqi people to clean up the mess we've made. And I find it hard to argue against that.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it hard to argue against the president when he's saying essentially the same kind of thing that, for the president to speak of honor is an oxymoron to me, but even so, he has a point when he speaks of the chaos that would follow if we left, and how would we live? And how would we live with that?
Nancy,
I know. You know, well, I. You know, that gets right to, you know, my personal doubts too. Those issues. I guess about a month or two ago, I went to Athens to address a conference of Middle Easterners. Many of them were in parliament or in cabinets in their countries, Syrians, Jordanians, Persian Gulf countries, and so forth. And then I stayed for several more days and spoke with many, many Iraqis one-on-one who'd left the country. And several of them said to me pleadingly, Nancy, don't you understand that this is as though you started a heart operation.
Oh, my.
And then you just walked out in the middle of the operation and the patient is on the table.
Mm.
And I have to say, it's hard to look into someone's eyes saying that and not feel responsibility. And I do. So I very much share the sentiment of your that you're expressing and your son's that you're relaying. And thank you for his service, by the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, then I think you have to ask the next hard question, which is, you know, if we stay, how much good can we achieve? And you know, you don't want to just say, well, this isn't going to be easy, so let's get out of there. But, you know, the public has been saying this for a long time. Give us a plan. Show us how you're going to do this. And as I assess the plan, it is a long shot gamble. It's not crazy, but, you know, it's a stretch. I mean, the plan is that with the fixed number of troops that we have, and everyone pretty much concedes that you can't ramp up significantly, that you'll sort of block by block clear and secure Baghdad, and that when the violence levels are down in Baghdad, you'll be able to allow space for Sunni and Shia to negotiate a political compromise on oil and the other things that were mentioned earlier. And that then Iraqis will take over and govern a country. You know, that is a lot of pieces to come together. And I think when the Iraqis look pleadingly into my eyes and say, you can't finish, one of them said to me, Nancy, what you don't understand is the reason the Iraqis want Americans out, because I think I mentioned, according to polls, increasingly Iraqis want Americans out. And he said, yeah, but that's only because you're not doing what you could so easily do. What we need you to do is come neighborhood by neighborhood and bring fresh water, bring electricity.
Right, right.
You'll win the hearts and minds of the people overwhelmingly. And, I, you know, it's hard because they look at you and they think you're the most powerful nation in the world. You're the most wealthy nation in the world. Mm-hmm. Why can't you, by neighborhood by neighborhood, mm-hmm. bring electricity, water, some semblance of security, and move on?
Mm-hmm.
The whole nation will overwhelmingly embrace you. And we've had no end of discussions and conversations about that here at the council, but it's harder than we think. We underestimated the challenges of taking on this insurgency, and we badly underestimated that when you got rid of Saddam and whatever superstructure he provided over whatever services mm-hmm. they had, that the services would collapse right away.
Mm-hmm.
So we made some bad decisions. I don't like to revisit those all the time. Where do we go from here? And do we have the resources in the current climate really to do what your son and you and I would think we should do,
mm-hmm.
which is make things right for the American public?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't see your way clear that, yes, we think we can do this and do this in near term, you're just forever trying out of guilt
mm-hmm.
and not having any more success, but perhaps sacrificing more lives. So they're tough. They're tough questions. They're not easy questions. I mean, I think our nation is divided and confused because it's not a simple issue, I don't believe.
Oh, it sure isn't, and they sure are tough questions. Thank you so much, Nancy. I see why you do what you do. You got the gift of bipartisanship here in a way that we don't see very often.
Yeah, I'm a deep believer in it, yeah.
I can tell. Yeah, thank you. Nancy Roman, Vice President and Director of the Washington Program of the Council on Foreign Relations. We're in what we hope will be a very short pledge drive and covering still issues in great depth, as we did with Nancy, who is looking for bipartisanship, looking for compromise here, and it's a tough one. It was tough. There are a lot of tough questions here. She's a good guest. We have a lot of good guests. So call and pledge and say, I love your guests, and it's good conversation, important issues we're talking about. We're in a short pledge drive. The number is 800-383-9772, or you can go to us online at WPR.org. Rhonda Fanning, producer of our program, is with us. Bill Estes, manager here in our studios in Milwaukee. And you want to tell them about what our goal is and how we get there?
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
It's about $3,000 this hour towards that overall goal of $275,000. And we only have a couple minutes left, and we are far from that goal this hour. We just missed it last hour. Let's make this hour count. Maybe we can go a little bit above and beyond and make up for last hour. 800-383-9772, or you can log on. Sorry, Bill. WPR.org.
We missed last hour's goal by probably two people. Maybe you should have called in to help us get over and reach that goal last hour.
Now.
But you could call right now and keep us going. Every hour has a goal, and this hour it happens to be $3,000, and that's the average that we receive from 10 to 11 during one of Kathleen's pledge drives. So go to your phone right now and help Kathleen and Rhonda make this goal for this hour. And Kathleen mentioned this is going to be a short drive. We hope it will be a short drive. We're winding down our fiscal year, which ends on June 30th, and we need to raise $275,000 during this May pledge drive. If that takes 2 days, great. If it takes 3 days, great. But the key here is for you to go to your phone right now and help make this drive the shortest we can. If we make it, when we make it at $275,000, this pledge drive will end. Go to your phone right now and pledge $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever Kathleen Dunn's program is worth to you and your family. 800-383-9772 or pledge securely online at WPR.org.
We gave you this last hour, and we do so many hours. We will again tomorrow because the Republican presidential debate will be on tonight. We'll be talking about it tomorrow at 9, and I'm keenly interested in what they say, all of the candidates, about Iraq and if they embrace the president's policy or if they have a policy of their own that's quite different. This certainly is the issue of our time, and we've given you a chance to, and you are so... You're such good citizens. You're so involved in understanding all of the shades, everything involved in this very complicated issue, and we give you a chance to express your opinions. And I know that you appreciate that. If you do, please call with your pledge. Rest assured we're going to be on this issue for a long period of time, and we've covered it extremely well. 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or just go online and pledge at WPR.org and try to end. It's really easy to do this. It's very fast, and you'll move us along toward our goal that Bill was talking about.
800-383-9772. We've been together since the beginning. We've had hours of shows leading up to the war in Iraq and the years since. We've covered the humanitarian efforts there, the rebuilding efforts, war funding legislation. We've talked to soldiers. We've talked to soldiers' family members. We've put the war in context of the elections and the midterms, the presidential elections. Tomorrow we're going to have a full hour covering the GOP debate, how Giuliani, McCain, everyone's handling the war in Iraq. If we've been together since the beginning on this for years. Call now. Show your support. 800-383-9772. There are those phones.
And the phones are ringing because those folks called in from Superior or Milwaukee or Madison or the Fox Valley area, they believe Wisconsin Public Radio is worth their membership, worth the financial support right now. And we do need it more than ever now because we're winding down during our fiscal year, which ends on June 30th. And we need to round out this pledge drive in good condition. So go to your phone right now. We're going to get your name, your address, a couple of phone numbers, your email address, and it'll be that easy. And then tell us how much you want to pledge and how you want to pledge it. $120 a year, that's only $10 a month, which is about our average. $15 a month, $20 a month. You decide the amount. Go to your phone right now and take 2 minutes of your time and talk with one of our volunteers. It's easily done. 800-383-9772.
We have a goal of $3,000 this hour, and we're at $445. So we need to move it along, everybody. Some of you have just discovered us, and you would like to, and you love us. That's what happens. People get hooked on public radio, and you're involved in the political conversations with us and the complexity of issues and all the guests that we have on. We just do, I think, superb radio. And if you would agree, you need to call and, well, you don't need to. You'll want to call and pledge because we need you. We need you. We need you.
800. We are only one part of the equation.
Exactly.
You are the other. 800. Sorry, Kathleen.
Sorry,
800-383-9772 or log on WPR.org. Volunteers are ready to take your call, ask you a couple of questions. You'll be done in minutes. And speaking of minutes, we only have a few of those left this hour to make that $3,000 goal. So get on the phones, 800-383-9772.
12 members have called in during the last couple of minutes and become members of Wisconsin Public Radio. Join them and help pay for the service that you listen to here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the largest portion of our income here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I think it's up to about 30%, 31% of our budget comes from individuals just like you. We think that makes a lot of sense. Those who use the service help pay for the service. Those who appreciate the quality of the service can help maintain that quality by becoming members today and calling 800-383-9772.
And we have about 8 minutes left this hour. We'll tomorrow, as we were saying, talk about the 9 o'clock hour tonight's. You know, we'll watch the Republican debate tonight and talk about that tomorrow. And Iraq will figure in.
And
we just
being,
have great
it's
conversations.
Being held at the Reagan Library, which will be interesting. How
yes,
that
it will
all
be.
Plays out.
Yes, it will be. So all you political junkies, I'm one of them, and we have great political. We have great political conversations on during these hours.
It's not just Abraham Lincoln hours with Kathleen.
What? Abraham Lincoln? Do you think that we do a lot of shows on Abraham Lincoln?
No.
He's worth it. He's worth every moment of airtime, you know. Long gone as he is, he's worth it. At any rate, here's the number. We don't have any plan for a while here. Think of all the terrific guests we've had on. We've had so many wonderful guests talking about this issue, and we've been doing this for 5 years, everybody. So call and say, keep up the kind of programming. We need you. We need to hit a goal so we can get this pledge drive over with as soon as possible. 800-383-9772. 800-383-9772. Call and give us $1,000 if you got some money and you really like what we do, and then
sure.
We'll reach our goal.
And we do get pledges from $10 to $1,000.
Call if you have $10.
And
yeah.
More. And so the amount is not as important. Every dollar counts, but it's just the fact that you have gone to your phone, punched up 800-383-9772, and you've shown your support for Kathleen Dunn and Rhonda Fanning and Joy Cardine, Ben Marins, Gene Ferracca, and Larry Mueller, and all the other hosts and all the great programs that come your way each and every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Kathleen Dunn spends a lot of her time talking about politics, but we also look at state elections, the environment. Global warming has been on the docket a lot lately around here. Science and medicine and, you know, everything from space to what's going on under the oceans, music,
dinosaurs.
Art,
we did a great show on dinosaurs.
History.
History. Abraham
above
Lincoln.
And beyond Abraham Lincoln. You know what Kathleen brings you. Put a dollar amount on that, $10 a month, $20 a month, but make that call right now, 800-383-9772. Two.
It's a different kind of drive. This will be a short drive. We just want to reach our goal of 300,000. And if you want to open, what did I say? Oh, I meant 275. And we're now at 233,228. So, and we're almost at 1,000 for money we've raised this hour. We need to be at 3,000 so we can end the drive as soon as we reach that overall goal.
And
please call.
And get back to our hour-long discussions.
Yeah,
public
that's what
radio
we're saying.
Is a vital part of every community. We need your support. We don't come often. But here we are right now. We will go away once we reach our goal of $275,000. So call now, 800-383-9772.
And we get little notes in the margins from folks who do indeed make that call at 800-383-9772 and send back their envelope with a pledge of support. And we get little notes that say things, you know, over the years I've heard things like, oh, I couldn't live without Wisconsin Public Radio. Or I listened back in the day of School of the Air and Let's Sing. And my parents introduced Wisconsin Public Radio to me, and now I'm passing it on to my family. I learned so much from the guests, the caliber of the guests that you have on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we also get those folks who say it's like getting another college education by just listening along to Kathleen and her discussions with her great guests. If you feel that way too, become a member and join the 40,000 people who are current members of Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-383-9772 is the telephone number, or pledge securely online or right now at WPR.org.
Another common thing that I hear, Bill, often is for people who have traveled or lived outside of Wisconsin, they don't realize how great Wisconsin Public Radio truly is until they hear another public radio station or radio in other states. Wisconsin Public Radio truly is unique. I've lived other places, I've heard other radio stations, and nothing quite compares to the Ideas Network here on Wisconsin Public Radio. So show how lucky that you are. Show that you respect this service. Call now, 800-383-9772. We're here because of your support, so call now.
Yes, please call now and help us reach that goal of $3,000 so we can stay on target each hour, which means that we'll get to the overall goal of $275,000 sooner. The number, 800-383-9... Oh, we're almost at the end of the hour, too. You better call now, 800-383-9772, or go to WPR.org. And we really do appreciate, I got to thank you, all of you
everybody
who have called.
Yes.
Thanks for your calls, everybody. And just move us along so we could reach our goal. Would you please? Thank you. Go ahead, Rhonda.
I thought we were at the end of the hour. 800-383-9772. Or log on to WPR.org. Call or log on now. Only a few minutes left. We are still $1,600 from our $3,000 goal. So you can pledge through the news break. It'll go towards this hour. So have a couple minutes left. 800-383-9772.
We can make that goal if you call now. You need to call now and help us reach that goal. Thanks.
800-383-9772, and indeed takes a minute and a half or 2 minutes to give us your name, your address, a couple telephone numbers, the amount you want to pledge, and how you want to pledge it. Quarterly installments, pay it all at once, put it on a credit card, you decide, but give our volunteers a quick call. 800-383-9772, and you'll feel better, and we'll feel better after you've made that call.
We sure will. And it's all about, that's good. It's good. We'll reach our goal sooner. Oh, you made the phones ring, Bill. This is good. Well, thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour and John Treader for on-air production in our studios in Milwaukee. Tomorrow, Barbara Kingsolver is joining us during this period tomorrow. I know many of you are big fans of hers. The first hour, watch the debate tonight. Let's talk about what we hear. And
then we can have some fun
good.
During the 10 o'clock hour.
Yes, we will. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for your calls.
Thanks.
Again, the pledge number, 800-383-9772. This is the Ideas Network.